this is here and now, and we've all heard of Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg, but have you heard of Biz Stone? Well, in the small world of Silicon Valley titans, he's pretty big too. He was one of the co-founders of Twitter. He left that company in 2011 and has started working on a new project called Jelly, which is about using your social network to get answers to your questions. He's also written a book, which is out today. It's called Things a Little Bird Told Me, Confessions of the Creative Mind. Biz Stone joins us now from New York. Welcome.
Oh, thanks, Jeremy. It's good to be here.
It is the dream of so many people who get into the startup world or the tech industry to have a company that explodes like Twitter and just becomes such a huge part of the daily lives of now hundreds of millions of people around the world. How did that happen?
You know, it took a long time. You know, I'm fond of saying that 10 years and a lot of hard work will eventually make you look like an overnight success. I think that the popularity caught on simply because people naturally are drawn to self-expression, and we made it easy. We made it super easy to do so in 140 characters or less using a mobile phone, using a desktop, using, you know, basically we were, at the beginning, we thought of ourselves as being device agnostic. That's why we limited the character count to 140 so that you could both read and write a tweet on any device.
You were designing it for the cell phones at the time. Do you think that if Twitter were developed today, you still would have that 140 character limit? Because now, of course, our mobile phones can handle a lot more than that.
You know, that's an interesting question. No one's ever asked me that. Well, with Jelly, I just launched a new company called Jelly, and we were faced with a similar sort of scenario where we asked ourselves, what should be the limit of the queries? And we based it on the size format of today's smartphones, which for us, it turned out to be about 240 characters. So maybe we would have made it longer. Who knows?
How did you come up with the name Twitter?
Well, we were brainstorming. There was Jack Dorsey and Noah Glass and I were brainstorming, and we knew we wanted to have a name that felt energetic. You know, the whole point was that your phone was going to buzz in your pocket and it was going to be the most recent update from somebody you cared about. And so we wanted to have this kind of energetic feel to it. And Noah was throwing out all these different names like Jitter and Jitterbug. You know, he was thinking that we should be targeting kids. And I didn't even like that phrase, targeting and kids together. So I said, you know, let's forget that. It's just as for everybody. But he was saying things like, you know, I said, I don't like Jitter, I don't like Jitterbug. And then we sort of got a rhyming dictionary out or a thesaurus out or something, and we came across Twitter. And I just instantly, that resonated with me because I knew my wife's a naturalist, and I happen to know that the dictionary definition of Twitter is short, trivial bursts of bird song. And the second definition is laughter. And I said, that's just so perfect for what we're doing. And so we knew we had a winner right there.
Why is laughter perfect for what you're doing?
Well, because we were having so much fun working on this project. And when you have that emotional investment in what you're working on, all of the criticism and all of the naysayers and everything just kind of, it's water off a duck's back. You know, it just, you don't even notice it.
How do you think that the company has changed from what you thought it was going to be or even what it was at the beginning in terms of how it's used by people?
I mean, fundamentally, I guess, the change happened a long time ago. But, you know, in the very beginning, it was fun. And within a few years, it became important. So now it's fun, but now Twitter is also, I would say, a very important tool.
You talk in the book about an offer that you guys got from Mark Zuckerberg. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was a strange thing to have happen to me. My co-founder, Evan Williams, and I, we drove down to Palo Alto to take a meeting with Mark Zuckerberg. And the first thing that happened was I asked Ev, why are we doing this? Do we really want to sell our company? And honestly, and Evan said, you know, honestly, no, but, you know, we're headed to this meeting. And I said, well, what are we going to do then, you know? And I suggested, why don't we just come up with a number? And then it's so ludicrous that no one would ever say yes. And honestly, the biggest number I could think of was $500 million. We just started laughing so hard. We couldn't breathe. We were like, we said, oh my God, that's such a... And so when it came down to it, ultimately, Mark said, you know, we don't like to talk about numbers, but if you throw out a number, I'll say yes or no. And Evan looked at me and he looked at Mark and he said, 500 million? And Mark said, that's a big number. And I said, you said you say yes or no. Hmm. And, you know, it turned into an offer. But what we did was we politely declined.
But how do you politely decline a half a billion dollars, no matter what you are? Because you especially did not grow up with a lot of money. That was a huge sum to turn down.
I know. That's why it's imperative to think abstractly about money. You think of it, you have to think of it like a resource or a tool. You know, like, okay, there's computing time, there's money, there are these different things that you can use as tools to make things and build things. So let's abstract it from the fact that I can't pay off my Visa card right now. You know, like, got to separate these things and honestly ask ourselves, what do we want to do with our life? And so that's the way that we had to, you know, soul search and say, we're not ready. We're not ready to, you know, for lack of a better term, give up.
Why did you eventually give up, to a certain extent anyway, and leave Twitter?
Well, I worked for over five years at Twitter building a very strong, you know, mainstream brand and at the same time an incredibly deep executive bench and a team of extremely dedicated and talented people. By the time 2011 rolled along, I felt comfortable. I felt that it was appropriate that I might go off and, you know, start another thing. Because maybe I'd have a chance in my lifetime to do more than just one big thing. And, you know, it took me a couple of years, but eventually we came up with Jelly. So that's what we're working on now.
BizStone, before I let you go, I want to do a quick lightning round with you because I have a couple of very short and small questions here that I would love to ask you. One is, Twittering or tweeting? Because I've always heard tweeting, but you use the word Twittering in the book a ton.
Well, it's become tweeting. I use Twittering because that's what I used to call it. And so in the book, I kind of follow Twittering up until a certain point, and then I think I changed to tweeting.
Okay. Why do you say hashtag instead of pound tag, given that in the United States, we don't call it a hash?
I don't know. I'm not sure why that came to be. In HTML... And code, I think it's referred to as hashtag, so that it made more sense.
Top three people that people should follow on Twitter.
How about the Dalai Lama, Jack Dorsey, and just for fun, Darth Vader.
Does Darth Vader have a Twitter? I'm sure he does.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, probably multiple ones.
Yeah.
BizStone is a co-founder of Twitter and author of Things a Little Bird Told Me, Confessions of the Creative Mind. Biz, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.